God bless you. Matthew chapter 24 tonight. Matthew 24. I need some men's help, if you wouldn't mind, to help me pass out a chart. Make sure the folks up in the balcony get a copy of this as well. It's right up here. Now, I want you to pass this out, and I want you to take it and look at it. And then when we get through the introduction, I want you to fold it up, put it in your Bible, and be done with it, okay? In other words, I don't want you to be looking at this the whole time I preach tonight. I hope you don't mind going into what I would like to say almost like a college course tonight. I'm turning this church into a classroom tonight and try to help you with the last days, talking about the days of the tribulation period. Matthew chapter 24, as we're passing these charts out, let me go ahead and read the passage for this service tonight. Matthew chapter 24, beginning with verse number 15. Now, if you are taking notes through this series, I am preaching on Matthew 24, verse 15, all the way through verse 31. The parallel passages of this is Mark chapter 13, verses 14 through 27, and Luke chapter 21, verses 25 through 28. Now, I want you to take that chart, look at it, and just kind of get it in your mind. We'll go over it in just a moment. If you'll notice the name at the top of it, Keith Kaiser. Anybody recognize that name right there, friends? That's the dear gentleman who's now with Jesus, had a lot of influence on my life. This is a chart that he gave to us, and I want to give it to you now. He taught us this, and now I'm teaching this to you. That's just the way it works, you know. It's a blessing. And I want you to pray with me tonight that God will give you an understanding of these things. Because as you understand these things, it'll help you be a better soul winner and a better servant for Jesus Christ in the days that He's given you to live. Matthew chapter 24, and beginning with verse number 15. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whosoever readeth, let him understand. Notice he didn't say whosoever heareth. He said whosoever readeth. He had us in mind there, you see. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. Woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. I want to begin a message tonight. I'm planning to get through it, but I'm going to take my time. Because you need to get this. You need to see it. So if I don't get through it, I'll just continue with it on Wednesday night. We'll just get as far as we can. You'll notice the last two words of verse 19. It's the title of my message. It's the two words, those days. Those days. Let's pray together. I'll share this thought. Father, we love you. Help us now. Give us an understanding. Open our hearts. Open our minds. And help us to see the great truths that you are giving in these verses. Bless us now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in the opening 14 verses of this chapter, we saw some wonderful points of application to apply to our daily lives. Now we come to the 15th verse of this sermon that's known as the Olivet Discourse. And as I was studying these verses, the two words that summarize these verses seem to be the two words, those days. In order for us to understand what is being spoken about, we need to identify what those days are in reference to. What are those days? Now, remember that the disciples have just asked the Lord a threefold question in which they ask these things. When shall these things be, talking about the destruction of the temple? What shall be the sign of thy coming to set up your kingdom? And what shall be the sign of the end of the world? Now, it is this threefold question that the Lord is answering throughout the Olivet Discourse. And let me say loud and clear from the outset that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back to the earth visibly and literally. What a glorious day that is going to be. However, before He comes back, to put His feet upon the Mount of Olives, there will be a terrible 7-year tribulation period that takes place upon this earth to punish the Gentile nations and to purge the nation of Israel. Now get this. It is this time of tribulation that our text is dealing with. Those days will be days which the world has never seen before and never will see again. Now we know as we travel through this that these words a little bit have already been fulfilled in a little way back in AD 70. However, the literal interpretation of this is that this is future. We realize this because God says the world has never seen it before and it'll never see anything like this again. Well, we know that the world's never going to see anything like the tribulation. Can I get an amen right there? He has to be talking about the tribulation period. Now, before we get to the text right here to bring out three things about those days in these verses, I want you to consider the following future events and the order that they're going to take place. Now, I want you to look at this chart here. This is given by Brother Keith Kaiser. He's with the Lord. He's seeing the Lord face to face right now. You'll notice in this chart that he starts with the crucifixion. Now, after the crucifixion, we see that the church age has begun. We are currently right now living in the church age. We have no idea how many years it's going to last. It is a question mark as to how long the church age will last. The next thing on God's timetable, notice it, is the first phase of the return of Jesus Christ. And that first phase is what's known as the rapture of the church. Get this, this is when he comes for his saints in the air. He'll come as a thief in the night. And we see this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Revelation chapter 4. When the church is taken out, every eye will not see Jesus at that time. Everybody understand that? Every eye will not see him at that time. He comes as a thief. He's going to rapture his church out. And while things are going on up in the air, like the marriage supper of the Lamb and so forth, the Antichrist is going to come on the scene. He is going to establish a 7-year covenant with the nation of Israel. That will begin what's known as the 7-year tribulation period. It's also known as the time of Jacob's trouble. At the end of that 7-year tribulation, sometime after that, the Lord Jesus comes back to this earth where every eye will see him. He will come back as the lightning shineth from the east unto the west. Get this. In the rapture, he comes for his church. In the revelation, he comes with his church. We are coming with him, and all the armies of all those who are living at that time will turn their forces against him, and he will take them out at the Battle of Armageddon. And he will set up his millennial kingdom to rule and reign for 1,000 years. The curse of the land will be lifted. The curse of human bodies will be lifted. The curse will be lifted from the animal kingdom. And the earth, it will be full of the knowledge of the Lord. We'll see this. Notice at the bottom that we at this church, we are what's called pre-tribulational and pre-millennial. What that means is that we believe the Lord is coming for the church before the tribulation begins. Can I get an amen there, friends? I'm glad I'm not going through the tribulation period. We are pre-tribulational. It's coming. He's coming in the air. It's going to be imminent. He's going to come as a thief, and it is for the saints. But then when the 7-year tribulation is ended, he comes back pre-millennial to the earth, and he's going to step his feet on the Mount of Olives. That coming will be obvious, it will be visible, and it will be with the saints. Notice at the bottom, both phases are literal and personal. At the end of the millennial kingdom, you notice the great white throne, and then eternity begins. Now, I want you to take that, I want you to put it up. Put it away, please. I don't like telling you what to do like that. Please put that away, okay? Please, I'm asking you, please put that away, because I don't want your mind on that. I just want you to see that. I want to put it in your hand so you can take it home. It all kind of makes sense to you right there on paper, okay? So what we see is the rapture of the church is coming. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 18, 1 Corinthians 15:51 to 58. The rapture can occur at any moment. Secondly, the Antichrist makes a 7-year agreement with Israel, Daniel chapter 9, verses 26 and 27. After 3.5 years, he breaks the covenant. Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, that's what we read beginning in verse number 15. He then moves to Jerusalem, sets up his image and sets up his image in the temple. He begins to control the world and forces all people to worship him and to obey him. At this time, Matthew 24, 21, God sends great tribulation upon the earth. The nations gather at Armageddon, and they see the sign of Christ coming yonder in the sky. They unite to do battle with him, Zechariah chapter 12, Revelation chapter 13, Revelation chapter 19. Jesus returns to the earth. He speaks. A sword comes out of his mouth. He takes them out. The blood will run up to the horse's bridle. He is received by the Jews. He establishes his millennial kingdom upon earth, and he rules and reigns for 1,000 years. I'm telling you, the future is bright, my friends, for the nation of Israel and for God's dear children. Now, this being the case, the rapture will take place before the tribulation period, in which the Lord Jesus comes in the air for the church, and at the end of the tribulation, he will come back to the earth with the church to rule and reign for 1,000 years. Now, thank God, as we get started here, thank God that we who are born again will not have to go through those days that he is speaking of right here in Matthew chapter 24, beginning with verse number 15. But it does us well to understand those days. Even though we're not going to be here, we're going to be with Jesus in the air. Thank God for that. But it does us good to understand those days, because what that will do is that will motivate us with the time we have left, which is a question mark, to give our life to Jesus and to give the gospel to as many people as quickly as possible. This being the case, let me give you three things about those days. So we have emphasized that those days in our text, they are the days of the tribulation. On that chart that I gave you, later on, you can circle those words, tribulation 7 years, and put above it in quotation marks, those days. That's the those days that God is speaking of in Matthew chapter 24. Three things about those days tonight. Number one, we notice the calamity of those days. The calamity of those days. Look at verse 15 and following. The Bible says, when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whosoever readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. He'll let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, that's Israel, those days shall be shortened. Now, the Lord told these people and us who read that when the abomination of desolation that the prophet Daniel spoke about stands in the holy place, he says, when you see this, beware. Now, in order for us to understand this, let's go back to Daniel. Because Jesus said himself, which was spoken of by Daniel the prophet. So hold your place here. Flip back to the book of Daniel chapter 9. The book of Daniel chapter number 9. Hold your place here now because we're coming back to it. Daniel chapter number 9. We're noticing first of all the calamity of those days. The calamity of the tribulation period. The calamity of the time when Antichrist will unleash his wrath upon the nation of Israel. We see this. Look at Daniel chapter number 9 and verse number 24. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. Here's what the prophet Daniel said. 70 weeks. Now, weeks are years here. In other words, a week is 7 years. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Now notice this is God speaking to Daniel, And he's telling Daniel, your people, who's the people of Daniel? The Jews, the Israelites. He said, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand, get this, that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem, that's back in Nehemiah's day, unto the Messiah, the prince shall be 7 weeks. 62 weeks, that is 69 weeks, or 483 years. Are you with me? Have I lost anybody yet? He said there's 70 weeks determined against the Israelites. And he's saying from the command to restore the city until the cutting off of Messiah will be 69 weeks. Stay with me here. The streets shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the world desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, 7 years. And in the midst of the week, he, Antichrist, shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Flip to Daniel chapter 11, verse 31. Stay with me now, because you know my heart to take complicated things, make them simple. I'm in the process of doing that, okay? Stay with me. It doesn't seem like I am yet, but stay with me, okay? Daniel chapter 11, verse number 31. And arms shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. Look at chapter 12, verse 11. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Now, everybody look this way. I know that sounds confusing. I understand that. Let me explain. Daniel says that there are 70 weeks or 490 total years that are determined against the people of Israel. He says from the commandment to rebuild the walls to the cutting off of Messiah would be a total of 69 weeks or 483 years. This leaves one more week to be fulfilled, which is what the Lord Jesus is dealing with in our text in Matthew chapter number 24. He is dealing with the 70th week of Daniel. That week of 7 years is known as the time of Jacob's trouble. It is known as the tribulation period. The church age that we are living in is in between the fulfillment of the 69th week, that's already happened, and in between the beginning of the 70th week of Daniel. We are living in the parentheses, is what I'm saying. When Israel rejected Messiah and he was cut off, God cut them off for a while, is now calling out a church made of both Jew and Gentile. And when he raptures the church out, the 70th week of Daniel will begin to take place. Now get this. When the rapture takes place and the Holy Spirit is taken out, the restrainer, his restraining influence, this is found in 2 Thessalonians. If you're taking notes, I encourage you to do it. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. When the Holy Spirit, the restrainer, is taken out, the Antichrist will come on the scene and he will make a 7-year covenant with Israel. However, the Bible tells in Daniel and elsewhere here that in the middle of the tribulation period, Antichrist will set up an image inside the rebuilt temple in Jerusalem, at which time he will declare himself to be God. You see this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 through 4, and in Revelation chapter number 13. In other words, he's promised to keep a covenant with Israel. The church is gone. The influence of the Holy Spirit is gone. I mean, the restrainer's gone. Now he steps on the scene. He's coming on the scene acting like he's Mr. Goody Two Shoes, my friends. He's going to make a 7-year covenant, but in 3.5 years, he's going to break that covenant. He's going to set up a false image, and he's going to demand for the world to worship him. He will break his covenant with Israel, and then he will turn his fierce wrath against the Israelites. Now get this. During that time, the Lord told the Jewish people in our text, he tells them to run for their lives. He says, go into the mountains for your lives. He shows concern for those who are expecting because of how hard it is for an expecting mother to travel for her life at that time. He even tells those to pray that their flight doesn't come in the winter months when it's harder, or on the Sabbath day that the Jews keep so religious, you see. Because see, their Sabbath laws religiously tells them that they cannot travel more than 2,000 paces a day on the Sabbath. So what he's doing here, he's saying this: these days are going to be terrible. They're going to be awful. It's going to be time of great tribulation. And we know, get this, that even though the nation of Israel, get this now, the nation of Israel will be miraculously protected. We see this in Revelation chapter 12, verses 13 through 16. God will protect the remnant of Israelites. Stay with me here. Even though we know that takes place, we know the most dramatic and terrible end times for Israel will be the coming of Antichrist. We know that great tribulation is going to happen in those days of the tribulation period. And I'm telling you, friends, that this tribulation period that Jesus is speaking of in Matthew chapter 24, beginning with verse number 15, all the way down through verse 31, he is bringing out the calamity that's going to happen in those days. Friends, listen to me. This awful time and the events associated with these times of great tribulation, or the ending 3.5 years of tribulation, is also spoken of in the book of Revelation. Let me just give you some things that's going to happen during that time. Chapter 8, verse 7 of Revelation, 1/3 of the green vegetation on the face of the earth will be destroyed. Revelation chapter 8, verses 8 and 9. These are the trumpets. These are the judgment trumpets that's sounding. 1/3 of the oceans will become blood. 1/3 of the life in the sea will be destroyed. And 1/3 of the world's ships will be destroyed. You say, Joe, do you believe that's going to happen? Exactly like the Bible says it will. Revelation chapter 8, verses 10 through 11. 1/3 of the waters become contaminated, and many die as a result of the contaminated waters. Revelation chapter 8, verse 12. 1/3 part of the sun, moon, and stars lose their light. Revelation chapter 8, verse 13, an angel flies through the midst of heaven saying, woe, woe, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth by means of the woes that are yet to come. Revelation chapter 9, verses 1 through 12, the earth is invaded by an army of demons. Read it for yourself. They are invaded by an army of demons from the bottomless pit who have the power to torment for 5 months, in which time their pain will be so horrific that men will want to die, but death will flee from them. In other words, God will not allow anybody to die for 5 months. And all of these demons from hell, get this, God is going to allow hell to visit earth in the tribulation period. He's going to open the bottomless pit, And the Bible says the smoke comes up and it darkens the sun. It darkens the air and these demons come out. They have faces like men and tails like scorpions and they strike men, but they cannot die for 5 months. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 9 verses 13 to 21 that an army numbering 200 million invades the earth and they kill one third of the earth's population, and yet the earth's population refuses to repent. This doesn't even include the vials that come in Revelation chapter 16. The red horse of war will ride during those days. Hey, the black horse of famine will be riding in those days. Hey, the pale horse of death will be riding in those days. My friends, listen. These years of great tribulation, the world truly has never seen before. It is going to be absolutely horrific. It is estimated at the end of the tribulation that over one half of the world's population will be killed. The Lord said, and I quote, "Except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved." The presence of His elect people on this earth, the nation of Israel, during the tribulation will cause those days to be shortened. Spurgeon put it this way, "The ungodly owe to the godly more than they know or would care to know." First of all, we see the calamity of those days. Let me hurry on. I may go over a few minutes. Forgive me in advance. Number two, not only the calamity of those days, but secondly, the caution for those days. Notice what the Lord did in verse number 23. "Then, if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I've told you before, wherefore if they say unto you, Behold, he's in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret chambers, believe it not." There's a great thought that comes out here. He's talking to those believing Jewish remnant that'll be on the earth during these days. Those that'll be saved, if you will. Those that are looking for Messiah, get this, during this time of great tribulation. It's going to be terrible. In which the believing Jews will flee for their lives from the wrath of the Antichrist. The Lord Jesus gives them a word of caution for these days. He tells them this. He says, if any man comes to you during those days and says, "Hey, lo, we found Christ. He's over here." He said, "Don't you believe it? Don't you believe that?" He goes on to tell them that there will be false Christ who arise and false prophets that'll even show great signs. And if it were possible, they would even deceive the very elect. He then tells them again, if they hear that he, Messiah, has come and that he's in the desert, don't believe it. He said, if you hear in those days that I'm in secret, don't you believe it? Don't you believe it? Here's what he's saying. He's cautioning them here, friends. No doubt, with their lives hanging in the balance, with their lives, I mean Antichrist is on their scent. He's trying to hunt them down like wild animals. And while they're hanging in the balance, they are desiring for Messiah to come. They want God to show up. And they were in danger at that moment to be tripped up, to believe a false prophet or believe a false Christ. Here's what he's saying. He brings this out in the next point, but I'm going to go ahead and say it here. He's saying, when I do come, and I am coming, you'll know it. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying here. He's saying, I'm not going to come in secret. Nobody's going to have to tell you it's me. Every eye will see me. Everybody will know it's Jesus. Everybody will know it's me coming in the clouds. I'm telling you that he's saying my coming will be unmistakable. We see this in Revelation 1:7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Let me say this before I go on. Even though this is a caution for the tribulation period, we can still learn a great lesson to be on guard against deceivers and false prophets and false doctrines and false beliefs. There was a religious fanatic was speaking to a group on a street corner. He wore a long white robe and a long beard. He declared that he was Christ come back upon the earth again. A Christian man came up to him and said, "Let me see your hands." And the man held out his hands, and the Christian said, "You're not the Christ. You don't have any nail prints in your hands." Glory, my friends. Yes, the one who's coming, he will come back, and every eye will see him. Every eye will behold him, and it'll be no doubt that is the King of Glory coming. I'm telling you, number one, the calamity of those days. Number two, the caution for those days. Don't you think that I'm going to come in secret? I'm coming openly. Number three, we notice the coming in those days. This is found in verses 27 and following. "For as the lightning cometh out of the east, shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be dark, and the moon shall not give her light. The stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." This is the point we've been traveling toward the whole time, friends. What I'm telling you is the great tribulation will be absolutely horrendous. The great tribulation will be full of calamity. And I'm talking about terrible, terrible, terrible things. But for those who will be saved in the tribulation, and yes, there will be thousands saved during the tribulation. Nobody who's heard the gospel during the church age, but if they've not heard it, they have an opportunity in the tribulation to be saved. And I'm telling you, there'll be thousands saved in the tribulation. And I'm telling you this, that King Jesus will come again. And he's saying here, "I'm coming with my saints," Colossians 3 verse 4, Revelation 19, 14, "and I will deliver you." He says that his coming will be as the lightning that cometh out of the east and shineth even in the west. By the way, there are three things he says that's going to be associated with my coming. Is he coming back to this earth, yes or no? Yes, he's coming back at the end of the tribulation period. And when he comes, it'll be unmistakable. It'll be like the lightning that shineth from one end to the other end. And he says there's three things that's going to be associated. Number one, there will be a great slaughter take place. We see this in verse number 28 where he talks about the birds, the carcasses. "There will the eagles be gathered together." This verse seems to be in reference to the battle of Armageddon, you see, that will take place when the Lord Jesus comes back to this earth with his saints to set up his millennial kingdom. There's a place the Bible calls Armageddon, Revelation chapter 16, verse 16. It is this place where the armies of the world will unite in their effort to destroy the coming king that's yonder in the clouds. Napoleon Bonaparte said this about that particular piece of land. He said, "It is the most perfect battlefield in the world." The armies of the nations will turn their united efforts to destroy the Lord, but the Lord will destroy them with the sword that comes out of his mouth. So much so that the blood will flow to the horse's bridle. He will call the birds to the great feast of the flesh of kings, captains, mighty men, and horses. Hold your place here. Turn to Revelation chapter number 19. Let's read about this. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. Revelation 19, verse 11. It says this, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. He that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses." That's you, friends, that's me. "Clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fiercest and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of them that sit on them and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Here's what I'm saying to you. King Jesus coming back, all the total military forces of all around the world, hey, they think that they are mighty, and many of them are. They will all join forces with one total military power in an all-out effort to take King Jesus down. But all he has to do is speak a word. Speak a word, and a sword comes out of his mouth, and he will take them down. And he's going to feed his birds with the flesh of kings and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of their horses, my friends. Dr. Ron Comfort puts it this way: which supper will you attend? Will you be at the marriage supper of the Lamb, or will you be part of the great supper of the birds? Powerful thought. Number one, there's a great slaughter that accompanies the coming in those days. But number two, there's also a great shaking that accompanies the coming in those days. That's found in verses 29 and 30. These verses tell us that when the Lord Jesus comes, he is going to shake the powers of heaven. The stars will fall from their sockets, and the sun and moon will not give their light. See, there'll be no need for the sun because the Lord has come, you see. The tribes of the earth will mourn, the Bible says, and they will see King Jesus coming in the clouds with power and great glory. His feet will rest on the Mount of Olives, causing it to split in the middle, and he will set up his millennial kingdom. We see this in Zechariah chapter 14, verses 4 to 9. As one person put it, too late the truth will dawn on all the branded dupes of the devil. They will admit to each other the Bible, which we have despised, was right all the time. The prophecies were not allegories, but literal actualities. The one whose peerless name we have customarily used as a curse word is the eternal, uncreated Son of the living God. Here he is, coming back, as he said, not as a carpenter, but as a conqueror, not with his glory veiled, but with that glory dimming the brightness of the noonday sun. Hey, his coming will be accompanied with a great slaughter. His coming will be accompanied with a great shaking, but his coming will also be accompanied with a great sound. In verse number 31, the Bible says when King Jesus comes back to this earth, he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet to gather the Jews, his elect, the Jews, from one end of heaven to the other, to bring them back into the promised land, you see. Just as the Bible prophesies in Deuteronomy chapter 30, in Jeremiah chapter 23, Ezekiel chapter 36, God says that he's going to miraculously bring the Jews back home for all eternity. I'm telling you that the Jews, yes, they may be blinded right now, but their future is very bright, my friends. I'm telling you that God's going to send an angel. He's going to gather them miraculously back to the land of Israel. When this happens, they will see the Lord Jesus. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 11 that they will be converted. Warren Wiersbe said this: Jesus will return at the hour when Israel is about to be defeated by the Gentile armies. Zechariah chapter 12. He will rescue his people. They will see him and recognize that he is their Messiah. Zechariah 12, 9 to 14. There will be a national repentance, a national cleansing, and a national restoration under the gracious leadership of their Messiah. Friends, I know the tribulation period we are not going through. There ought to be something inside your heart that says, glory to God, I'm not going through those days. But I wonder, as we study those days in this text, the calamity and all of the wrath that's poured out upon earth, and the Jewish people fleeing for their lives, I wonder, what can we get from this? We'll be coming back with King Jesus. He will slaughter the enemies. He will shake the heavens. And he will have a great sound to gather his people
back home. But as we come to a close with this thought, there are four major thoughts I want to give you. Relax, I'm just going to mention them. Four major things that we can learn by means of application. What can we take home with us? Thank God we're not going through those days, but what can we take home with us? Number one, if you are not a child of God, you are on dangerous territory. You are in danger that if the Lord raptures the church tonight, you will go through the tribulation period and all the calamity involved with it. Number two, if you are saved, thank God for His amazing grace that has delivered us from those days coming to this earth sometime in the future. Number three, if you're saved, do all you can do to get the gospel to as many people as possible. Because the Bible plainly teaches in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, read it for yourself, that if you have heard the truth and you reject the truth, God will send you strong delusion and you will believe the Antichrist and you will be condemned forever to the lake of fire. Number four, if you are saved, we are on the winning side. I don't know if you've heard the story. I've heard it, and I'm trying to remember all the details. You'll get the basic gist of it. Maybe you've heard the story. It goes something like this. A little boy was reading a book close to bedtime one night, and it was in the part where the villain, the bad guy, was seemingly having all of his way and just laughing and making fun and all these kind of things. His mother's voice called out to him. It was getting late, and she said, "Honey, it's time to go to bed. Turn the lights off." So the boy decided, he was so intrigued with this book that he didn't want to wait till the next morning. So he decided to turn to the end of the book, you see, and find out what the conclusion said. And he found out in the conclusion that the good guys won. And the villain who was laughing was defeated and taken out. And just before he went to bed, it said that this boy turned back apparently to the page where the villain was laughing because he seemed to have everything going his way. And he began to speak to that villain and said this, "If you only knew how this story ends, you would not be laughing like you are now." And I know, friends, as I close my Bible, I know you look around and it looks awful. I know you look around and it looks like the devil's having a heyday every turn, every place. I about lost my voice tonight, friends. I know it looks like the devil just looks like he's getting everything he wants. But can I tell you something? I've read the end of the book, and I know what happens. And if you're saved tonight, rest. You and I are on the winning side. Aren't you glad you know Jesus tonight, friends? I'm telling you, I don't know everything's going to happen in the tribulation, but I'm sure glad I'm not going through it. But I know in preparation for it, let us pull out all the stops and knock on more doors than we ever have. Give the gospel more than we ever have. Go after people more than we ever have. Because nobody in their right mind would want anybody to go through those days. And may God help us to see that even when it looks bad and the villain may be laughing, our great God will have the last laugh. And we will rule and reign with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are on the winning side. Rest secure, Christian. Everything's all right in my Father's house. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we love you. Thank you for this night. Speak to us, Lord. Help us to see the purpose of understanding those days. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. As soon as they get prepared, they'll begin to play through softly. Let me ask you these questions. Number one, are you truly on the winning side. Are you in the family of God? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Is He your Savior? If you are saved, you are safe. If you are lost, you are gambling in a game that you can never win. If you're not sure of heaven, come. Let us take a Bible, share with you the gospel of Jesus Christ. Question number two. Do you know somebody in danger of going through those days? Do you know somebody that if Jesus Christ came back tonight to rapture His church out, do you know somebody who's in danger of being left behind? And that leads me logically into my third question. What are you doing to get the gospel to others? There's a great emphasis at this church of getting the gospel out. And may I tell you, when we know the truth of God's Word, we should get the gospel out as quickly as possible to as many people as possible. I don't know how God's speaking to you. Maybe you're burdened for a family member. Maybe you're burdened for a coworker. Maybe you're burdened for a friend, a classmate, a teammate, whatever it is. Why don't you pray and ask God to give you an opportunity to deal with them? Or maybe tonight you need to come make sure you're in the family. Whatever it is, let's do business with the Lord. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Father, take this thought, use it in a great way. Challenge us from Your Word. Help us to understand these thoughts. May the will of God be done. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Brother Gary's going to begin to sing. If God is dealing with you about a lost person or dealing with you about your own soul, whatever it is, as He sings, you come now. Would you do that?
Have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way.
You know somebody who's lost in danger going through this? Come talk to God about them. Give it to Jesus Christ.
Hold me and make me after Thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and
sing on, Brother Gary. Sing on, please.
Have Thine own way. My being, absolute sway, fill with Thy Spirit, till all shall see, Christ only, always living.
They're playing through softly. If you're standing, you look this way. Folks have responded, we'll give them some time. I want to say this to you. I don't know everything about the tribulation. And it's possible every now and then I may miss that, or I may miss this, or I may miss that thought there. But I'll guarantee you one thing. The tribulation is going to be terrible. The world's never seen anything like it. And we'll never see anything like it again. And I don't know what that tells you, but here's how it speaks to me. Who cares what other people think about the gospel? Let's give it to them anyway. Let's tell them more about Jesus. Let's pray more for them. Because we don't want people to go through this tribulation. And our hearts ought to be leaping for joy. If you're saved, if you know Jesus, your heart ought to be leaping for joy that, hey, those days we preached about tonight, those days, the tribulation, you don't have anything to worry about, friends. You're not even going to be here for it. You're going to miss it. And that's all because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Let's trust Him. Let's rejoice in Him. Tell more people about Him. Let's pray together. Father, we love You. Help us, Lord, to understand these thoughts. Speak to our hearts. Challenge us from Your Word. Help us to keep those days in our mind. And even though we're going to miss them if we're saved, there are those that maybe we work with and live close to, love, who are in danger of going through them. Help us do everything we can to get the gospel to them, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you're going to stay with us for the international ministry, let me dismiss you first to the blue room. If you are staying for the international ministry meeting, if you'll go immediately to the blue room, I'll be there in just a moment. The blue room, please.